Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Do you ever sit down on a teeter-totter and try to make it work by yourself? It doesn't work very well, does it? You have to have somebody else on the other side. And that's the way God designed our lives. We need each other. We're better together. We need relationships to live the life that God intended for us to live. Let's look at God's Word and what He has to say about this today.
Thanks for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, the world tells us that we shouldn't count on anyone but ourselves to make our way in life. We don't need anybody's help. We know what's best for us. Now, as we continue our series called Better Together, we'll see that God's Word, the Bible, says the exact opposite. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help you learn how to love, trust, and work together with your family, friends, and community to achieve common goals for your life. It's called the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. You can take a sneak peek of this great resource, which includes a 6-session DVD and study book guide, by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's program. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Reaching Out Together.
You know, this week, our church started during 40 days of community on a giant task that's never been attempted before. We are feeding all 35,000 homeless people in Orange County, feeding them 3 meals a day for the 40 days of community. And that took tons and tons of food. And this week, as we were delivering it to different places, not just people on the street, but, you know, a lot of homeless people end up living in these kind of rundown hotels and motels where they live for 2 or 3 days or 4 days, and then they get kicked out and things like that. And so as we began to deliver it to some of these homeless motels and hotels and things like that, we would deliver the food, we'd give them a Bible, we'd give them a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, and we would ask them, how can we pray for you? And many times those people would break into tears, and they were actually more touched by the prayers than they were by the food. They said that somebody would care enough. Nobody's ever prayed for me in my entire life. Nobody's ever said, how can I pray for you? Tom's going to talk about the next one.
And there is a fourth way that you and I can partner together to let other people know how great God's love is, and that is to tell your stories. To tell your stories, to do what the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 2:9. You are God's instruments to do His work and to speak out for Him and to tell others of the night and day difference that He has made for you. You tell your story. In fact, the most effective way to let other people know about the great things that God can do in their lives is to tell the story of what God's done in your life. That is what makes a difference. And the great thing about telling stories is you are the expert on your story. You may be an expert on some other things, but I can tell you there's one thing that every one of us across this campus is a world expert on, and that is your story, what God's done in your life. And what I've found over the years that people, they want to hear your story. What they don't want to hear is your story. You know what I'm talking about? You know those stories where people are, they're 15 minutes into the story, they're still 5 years old, your tongue's hanging out, that kind of a story. People just want to hear the short story. So we owe it to them to take a few minutes to think it through so we can tell the story of what God's done in 2 or 3 minutes, not 2 or 3 hours. Tell the story. Jesus said, you're to be my witnesses. It's a great picture. When you hear the word witness, I think of a courtroom. Most of us do. And it's a perfect picture of what God's asking us to do to make a difference in the world. I'm to be His witness. He doesn't ask us to be the attorney arguing the case. He doesn't ask us to be the judge, judging other people. He says, I want you to be my witnesses. And what does a witness do? A witness just says, here's what I've seen, here's what I've heard. A witness just tells the story of what God's done in their life to other people. I think a lot of us can think of a lot of different stories that we have, a lot of different things that God has done in our lives. But one of the things we struggle with a little bit is, how do I get into it? I mean, how do I start to tell the story in a natural way where it doesn't seem fake or phony? Two or three ways. One way is to listen for problems that Jesus has helped you with. And when you find a problem that Jesus has helped you with, you went through that to help other people. So you can do that. You can just listen for ways that God's helped you. The truth is, every one of us, we have dozens of stories, maybe hundreds of stories, of the things that God has done in our lives to make a difference. There's another way you can do this. You can also just sort of relate to a current event, something that's going on that everybody's facing, maybe everybody's struggling with, something you see in the newspaper or on TV. So you relate to a problem that's in your life that somebody else has faced, or a current event, or there's another thing you can do. Sometimes there's someone, you've known them for a long time, but you've never told them what God's done in your life. And you know how you get to a point where you don't want to tell them because you never have told them? It's almost embarrassing. What do you do then? Great way to start then is an apology. Just apologize for never having said, look, I've never told you the most important thing in my life, my relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. The point there is, friends don't keep good news from other friends. So you tell them the good news of what God's done in your life. Now here's an action step with this, just a simple action step. Write out your story and share it with your group. Start there. Start with your group. Let other people that you know, that are close to you, know first. Some of you never even shared the story of what God's done in your life with someone in your group. So in your group, during 40 days of community, here's what you do. Each week, have somebody share their story as a part of your group. Just take 2 or 3 minutes to do that. Or maybe one night you pair up and everybody tells their story on the same night. But some way, during 40 days of community, everybody gets a chance to tell their story. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 16. In fact, let's read this verse together. Listen, and I'll tell you what God has done for me. Do that. First of all, with each other, and then I encourage you, maybe at the end of 40 days of community, have a party and invite a bunch of people from the community over, other friends that you have, and everybody tell your story that night. Just sort of let everybody tell their story. Tell them, hey, we want to try this out on you, and you can give us your feedback, something like that. It's interesting, as you hear several people tell their story, not just you, but you and you and you and you, there is power in a group witness. When I can hear the story from a lot of people, it makes the story even more powerful.
The fifth way to help other people experience God's love is to nurture friendships. Just build friendships with them so you can build a bridge between your heart and theirs and Jesus Christ can walk across. Now, this step takes a little bit more time and effort. It takes a little more energy to build a friendship. You just don't do it overnight. But the Bible says in Romans 12, be friendly with everybody. Don't be proud and feel that you're smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. I said earlier that very few people have a true friend in life, and everybody is looking for a true friend. I'm not talking about acquaintances. Everybody's got acquaintances. But I'm talking about people who are there with you when you need them most. And who do you build those friendships with? The people that are already in your life. They're the people you work with, you go to school with, you live with, that are down the street, the people on your speed dial on your phone. They're all around you. And as I said, God has put these people in your life specifically so you can share the good news with them. And if not you, who? You are the only Bible some people will ever read. You represent Jesus Christ to them. Now, one of the best ways to build a friendship is a biblical method that I love. Tom mentioned it earlier. Have a party. Did you know that much of Jesus' ministry was done at parties? If you go read the Gospels, read his life, you'll read that he often did ministry at parties. In fact, he was such a party animal that the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees, called him a glutton and a drunk. They called Jesus a glutton and a drunk because he was always at parties. Why? Because that's where the people were that he wanted to share the love of God with. He even taught his disciples to do this. One of his disciples named Levi, not the gene guy, but another guy, his name was also Matthew. Look at the next verse. In his home, Levi, also called Matthew, gave a big dinner party for Jesus. And many fellow tax collectors and other guests were also there. Now, why does it say many fellow tax collectors? Because that's what Matthew was. He was a tax collector. So he calls up the office. All his buddies say, hey, come on over. He had an office party for Jesus. That's what he did. Some of you could do it right there at the office. I mean, you could get a laptop and put the DVDs on of 40 Days of Community. At lunchtime, everybody's got to eat anyway. You might start a group at work in your lunchroom. Now, here we're talking, though, about a party. And I would encourage you to have a Matthew's party. What's a Matthew's party? It's no agenda, but fun. And you just bring some people over who don't know the Lord and who you want to get acquainted with and just build friendship and show love to. You know, a lot of you guys have barbecues in your backyard. If they're portable, I want to challenge you to move it to the front yard sometime. Start cooking out front. You'll get a crowd. You know, that smell will start wafting down the cul-de-sac and they'll show up and then, hey, here, have a burger. You know, I'm just talking about getting people together for Monday Night Football or something like that. If fact, 1 Timothy 3:2 says one of the qualifications to be a pastor is you have to enjoy having people in your home. Well, I do, because I'm a party animal. Now, God says, I want you to reach out to people and nurture friendships. Christians tend to fall into one of two extremes, either imitation or isolation. Isolation or imitation. On one hand, some Christians become isolationists, and they say, you know what? I don't want to get polluted by the world. I don't want to get dirtied by the world. I don't want to get my life messed up by the world. So I'm just going to isolate myself, and I'll build a wall, and I'll build my own little culture, and we'll have our church culture and our school culture and our family culture, and we're not going to let anybody get out there in the world because we don't want to get dirtied by those people. Well, those people are the people Jesus Christ died for, friend. And so isolation doesn't work where you just build your own little culture and you stay far away from the world. How are you going to build any friendships that way? That's wrong. The other way is the other extreme, which is imitation, which says, let's just be just like the world. We'll dress like Britney Spears. We'll trash talk like Britney Spears. We'll say whatever we want to do. We'll have the same values, the same goals in life. We'll be no different from the world. Well, that's not what God wants you to be either, where you just give in and give in to all of the lowest, you know, common denominator in society. That's not it either. The answer is not isolation. Let's just stay away from everybody who's not a believer. And it's not imitation. Let's just act like everybody else. The answer is not isolation or imitation. It's insulation. Insulation and infiltration, where the Bible says you're to be salt and light in the world. You're to penetrate the world with the goodness of God. Let me give you an example. After this service, if I go out to lunch at a seafood restaurant and I order sea bass, when they bring it to me, the first thing I'm going to have to do before I can eat it is I have to put salt on it to eat it. Now think about this. That fish has lived its entire life in salt water. And yet I have to put salt on it. Now, what's going on here? That fish is insulated. Insulated. And if God can take a fish and keep it in brine, in salt water, its entire life and not have it infiltrate and pollute the fish, then certainly God could take you or me or any believer and put us in the world and keep us from being corrupted by the wrong values. Does that make sense? Okay, so you are to be in the world, but not of the world.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Reaching Out Together from our series called Better Together. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
The Bible teaches that we're better together and that we need deep, purposeful relationships with other Christians. Yet many people get tired of trying and settle for superficial connections or even retreat to a lonely life. Pastor Rick says you can experience healthy, vibrant relationships through community with other Christians. And that's why he put together the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. This 6-session DVD and workbook will help you find and establish the type of friendships you've always longed for. Here's what Vanessa shared. I never thought I really needed a small group, that I could handle life on my own, because I'm tough. But after a period of going through minor illnesses, I decided I needed to be in a group, so I started one. A few months later, I had to manage 2 separate tragedies. I felt like I was under attack. But it was my small group that got me through with prayer and faith. Never before had I needed to lean so heavily on other believers, and I'm so glad that they were there when I needed them. In a month where I could have doubted Christ, I grew closer to Him because of the strong people in my group that I had been blessed with. Life is easier with a small group because they help carry you through the good and the bad. Thanks for writing, Vanessa. If you want to learn how to cultivate deeper relationships with those around you as you discover how we are better together, then call and ask for the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. We'll send it your way when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift. call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
So, you are to be in the world, but not of the world. The Bible says this. We used this verse last week, but I like it. So let's look at it again. The Holy Spirit does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and to be strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. So you nurture friendships. Now here's your action step. Bring a friend to your group. During 40 days, bring somebody who's not yet a follower of Christ. Maybe they're considered. Maybe they're not even considered. But you just like them. You invite them to your group. You say, well, I don't have any friends who'd like to come to my Bible study group. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I don't know if you saw the recent Gallup poll where he took a survey and found 34 million Americans said, I'd go to church, I've just never been asked. 34 million. Some of those people you work with. Some of them live on your block. And they're far more willing to come to a small group than you're willing to ask them. But you nurture friendships. You think of a friend, a neighbor, coworker you care about, invite them to a church, invite them to your group, plan a party, have a good time, build relationships. Now, I don't know how it works. I really don't. But I do know this. God has a will for your life, and the devil has a will for your life. And you have a free will to choose. And every moment of your life, you're choosing either God's will or the devil's will for your life. And when you choose your own will, well, it's certainly not God's. So you're going in the wrong direction. Now, I don't know how it works, but I do know that when I pray and expect people and pray for people, what happens is it makes it easier for them to choose the right way. God will never force anybody to choose, but it makes it easier. That's why when I'm backstage before each service, I pray. I say, God, it'd be a waste of time to go out there and talk to those people without expecting you to do something. So I want to thank you in advance that you're going to change lives. Thank you in advance. I expect it to happen in faith. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. And that is the faith that God uses in changing lives. You see, very few people come to Jesus Christ the first time they hear the good news. They got to think about it. And that's why I said we never push anybody, never pressure anybody here. We say, take the time to make the right decision. Because I believe if a person is intellectually honest, they'll make the right decision over time if they consider all the facts. And so we say, take the time and you let them consider. I think about how long Leslie Strobel prayed for Lee Strobel before he became a believer. And yet she never gave up. She expected God to act, and look how God is using Lee today. One of the ladies in our church decided to be a 40-day host and host a small group. She'd been inviting her dad to church for 15 years, and every time he turned her down, said, no, I'm not interested. Just kept turning her down. And then she invited him, said, I'm hosting a 40-day group. Would you like to come to that? He said, sure, I'll come. She said, you will? He said, yeah, because you're leading it. I'd love to come to that. You never know when a person's going to open up. Here's the point. You never give up on anybody. You never get discouraged. Nobody's hopeless. You trust God. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, some of you, you've been praying for some time for your boyfriend to become a believer or your girlfriend to become a believer. Or you've been praying for your husband or your wife or a parent or a child or somebody you care about, a relative, a worker, a good close friend. And you've been praying for them and you don't see any evidence that 2 years later they're any closer on the journey to God than they were 2 years ago. Just don't see any difference. Well, what do you need to do is you need to start praying in faith, expecting God to act. Faith is certain of what we do not see. God, I don't see him warming up to you at all in any area of their life, but I'm going to pray and expect that you're working in their life even when I can't see it. Now, again, I don't know how this works, but you know the story in the Bible of there were four guys who had a friend who was paralyzed and he needed to be healed. And so they believed Jesus could heal him. So they put him on a mat and they take him to Jesus. And when they get there, they set him down, and Jesus says this, the next verse. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And he healed the guy. Now notice, he healed the guy on the basis of the friend's faith, not the guy who was sick. The guy that was sick, he didn't necessarily have any faith, but it was his friend. Jesus looked at these four guys and said, "You believed I would do it, so I'm going to do it." And sometimes you have to believe in faith for other people. And you expect God to act. Now let me let you in a little secret. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little faith. See, you don't need a lot of faith in life. You just need a little faith. But if you put a little faith in a big God, you're going to get big results. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of your God. So you take a little faith. God, I believe you're going to work in my friend's life, and you're going to bring him to you. And you keep believing and believing. And anybody can do these steps. Now here's the last way to help bring your friends to know the Lord. R is represent Christ with your life. Represent Christ with your life. The Bible says, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do or say. We need audiovisual Christians who walk the walk and talk the talk. They do it and they say it. They live it and they share it. They communicate it and they demonstrate it. They are show and tell Christians, and you need both. You need to live it in your life and you need to share it with your mouth. And the Bible is very specific about this. 1 Thessalonians 4, do all you can to live a peaceful life. Take care of your own business. Do your own work. If you do, people who are not believers will respect you. The fact is, I'll say it again, God specifically put people in your life, and you are God's representative to them. And if not you, who? God put you there. Why would he put two there? He put you there to share with your relative, your loved one, your friend, your coworker. How will the people know? How will the people know unless we tell them? Your friends who need the Lord, who need to be shown how to get to heaven, God isn't going to write it in the sky for them. He's not going to send them a telegram. He has sent you.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Let me ask you a question. Who are the people that God has used to help you grow spiritually? I'd encourage you to sit down and make a list. And then I would like to ask you a second question. Who are the people you're helping to grow? One way that we learn from each other is by committing to a small group. And let me just say this, if you're not in a small group, I want to challenge you to start one. Don't go looking for a group, just start one. It's very easy to do. You just invite one or two people over to your house and you offer them some refreshments, some Coke or tea or, you know, just water, and you push play on your DVD player and you'll have the Bible studies that I've prepared for you. And I want to tell you this, as a pastor for over 30 years, that most people would welcome an invitation to be in a small group. Most people would like to connect. They're just waiting for an opportunity. Now, you could start with a Bible study that teaches your small group that we're better together. What better place to start? I have a study kit called 40 Days of Community. And literally, tens of thousands of small groups have used this study over time. Right now, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope, we'll send you the 40 Days of Community Study Kit. Now, that includes the DVDs and all of the studies that I've taught, a workbook. And let me tell you, when you reach out to others with the love of Jesus Christ, they're going to be blessed, and so will you. Thanks for listening today. You know, I love you, I care for you, and I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.